laying out some foundation work, and he comes to a point, and he says, how long's the Lord's house going to stay in shambles? How long are you going to be successful? How long is it going to take for you to get everything in store, in order, and make sure that you've got everything that you want, and the job is good, and the wages are good, and the times are good? And then they look back and they're like, well, no, we don't have time. We don't have time to worry about the house of God. We got to make sure that our families are taken care of. We got to make sure that, that we've got the 401k is in place, and we got to make sure that the cybersecurity is taken care of and the crypto is all good, and we got to make sure that we're just making lots of money. I thought it was very interesting. I saw a commercial yesterday, and it's very interesting to me. It's very telling of where we are at as a society. It was advertising TurboTax. And all of a sudden, the guy says, I'm a millionaire, and runs around throwing a party. And then he says, I'm not a millionaire. Then he looks at his phone again. I'm a millionaire, and quits his job. And I'm not a millionaire, and goes back in, tries to get his job back. And TurboTax says, when you're dealing with crypto, it's kind of hard to navigate these waters. And that's and isn't it amazing? Because here it is, you look at your 401k and you're saying, oh man, my 401k has become a 101k. Just everything is just getting expensive, isn't it? And we are so drawn into the society in which we're living, to where you've got to make sure that you've got everything under control and everything looks good. And then we can worry about the other things. And God says, no, I don't want you to operate that way. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's amazing to me, as we read our opening prayer this morning, the Valley of Vision, as we read that and we study this, it's amazing to me that man's ideology and man's logic is completely contrary to how God operates. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Isn't that amazing? And we're exact opposite. Who wants to be first in lunch line? Yeah, Brother Daniel, like me, both hands, his feet are up in the air. I want to be first in the lunch line. Well, according to God's plan, so whoever makes it downstairs first for lunch, you're going to go last. And then everybody hangs out up here like, what is going on? Like, nobody wants to be first because we don't want to be last. And see, in God's timetable, it's amazing. How does this make sense? In order for you to receive, you must give. That doesn't, no. My money is mine, and I need God to give me more money so I can get all my bills paid. And God says, no, I want you to give to me first. Not off of, now watch this, hold on, I want to be real clear on this. And listen, I'm not trying to be a money-grabbing preacher, but I want us to be biblical. Not after the government robs you of your finances. Said first fruit go to God. The first offering goes to God. The second offering is our taxes. Now, I don't like that as much as anybody else, because I really feel like we're coming to a point of taxation without representation. That's kind of how I feel in America today, because nobody is conveying my desire for a righteous president, righteous politicians. Nobody's pushing that. And so for me, I feel like, man, my voice is, but listen, you and I've not lost my voice. My voice is to be lifted up as a man in the wilderness crying, making way for the Lord. We've got our perspective all wrong. We've got our eyes on the wrong things. And as we begin this year, listen, I know it's been a rough start to the year. All right. And I think that 2022 is going to be one of those bittersweet years. I think 2022 is going to be one of the years where we're just going to look back and we're going to see God do great and mighty things beyond what we could ask or imagine, but it's going to come at a cost. I just can't explain it outside of this. New levels, new devils. The Lord has brought us in. The Lord has brought us into a glorious place. He is growing His church. He's bringing people in. And we're seeing people saved. We're seeing the baptismal water stir. We're seeing people added to the church. But listen, I do know this, though, that with growth comes pain. I remember being a kid, and I remember it was that kind of that 14 to 15 is when I started really making my growth spurt. And I remember laying in bed, and I would sit there and be just, oh, because your shins hurt so bad, your legs hurt, your knees hurt. What is that? That's a growing pain. Hey, by the way, churches go through growing pains. You and I are now to a point, we've got a vision for this year. We're very excited at what God wants to do this year. We've got a bus sitting right on the side. And listen, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this, that we want to get that bus on the road this year. But we don't want to just get the bus on the road. I saw a bus come by my house this morning. And when I looked at it, listen, I'm not trying to be mean and I'm not trying to be disrespectful and I'm not, praise God, some people are out there running on some buses. But listen, when that bus went by my house, it was a poor testimony for Jesus. Because it was a rust bucket. When we put that bus on the road, we're going to put our name on it. We're going to say, Jesus loves you. Listen, it's going to look sharp. And the people that are going to be working on the bus are going to be smiling, welcoming people as they're coming in. Because there's nothing like somebody saying, Jesus loves you, with a frown on your face. We're glad you're here. You're costing us money today putting gas in this bus. But we love you anyways. Well, if we get that bus running and one person comes to Jesus Christ over the next 20 years, all the miles, all the dollars, everything will be worth it because we changed the eternal destination of one. But I just got a feeling that it's going to be more than that. Because your preacher and Miss Tracy are both reached through the bus ministry of various places. Mine in Jackson, Tennessee is heard in Portage, Indiana. And now what's really exciting is there are dozens and dozens and dozens of folks that know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, because some snot-nosed bus kids got reached through the bus ministry. I'm still snot-nosed. Especially right now. It's that time of year, amen. But the reality is this, we've got to come to a certain point to where we say, I'm going to consider my ways. You've got to come to a certain, we're coming into the new year. Man, isn't it amazing? We're already into the new year and January's almost gone. January 23rd. Like we were just having Christmas and passing out the cookies and fudge and pumpkin butter. Amen. Praise the Lord for taste buds. Time flies when you're feverish. Now, see, time just loses, like you lose all concept of time when you're sick. But it's amazing to me that we now are on the, we're in, no longer we're starting the new year, we're into the new year. And let me ask you, for 23 days, have you considered your ways? Have we done the same thing that we've always done, expecting a different result? That's the definition of insanity. And but this year, I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to get a different result. No, please. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. You're insane. You're insane. See, God wants us to consider our ways. It's interesting. I was telling Brother Dustin this the other day, that when I go through the Bible, I find two ways. And there's only two ways. But often I choose the third way. See, I make my way. See, I'm going to do it. I've got the Burger King philosophy. I've got the Burger King mentality of I'm going to have it my way. I was at a public library one time. And it said that this is not Burger King. You don't have it your way. This is not McDonald's. You're not loving it, all right? And I'm just like, man, they're just laying it down right there. And they said, but if you come to us and you're quiet and you want to know where something and you want knowledge, we can give you a book, all right? And I'm like, okay, you want to learn? Here, you're in the right place. But you're not going to get it your way because we're not here to serve you. We're here to take care of the books. Oh, okay. And I think many times, listen, I think many times we view God the same way. You're going to let me do it my way, and I'm not going to love it unless you do. And God says, go ahead. You're going to find out there's only two ways. See, when we get to the road to eternity, there's only two ways. There's a road that leads to heaven, and there's a road that leads to hell. There is no other path that you can take. See, one leads to life. One leads to misery. One leads to liberation. One leads to bondage. And see, we've got this idea that we've got, and see, remember, God does things differently. When I become a prisoner to Jesus Christ, I am then set free. I cannot comprehend it. I can't explain it. My finite mind does not operate on those levels. But I do know this, that with God, it is binary. It's either a zero or it's one. There's no non-binary operation with God. And see, you and I were created after His likeness, after His image, and we were created with a body, soul, and spirit, just as there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you and I are made with a void inside of us that only He can fill, and nothing else in this world can fill it, no matter how hard you go after it. See, the devil has perfected alcohol. He's perfected drugs. Listen, do you understand this? He is the perfect maestro. He has perfected counterfeit worship. And he is present at deacons meetings. He's present at church services. And he has convinced us there's another way. But with God, there's not. There's only two ways. One to life. One to liberty. And the other is eternal damnation, separated from God for all eternity. See, we used to sing a song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Now, some of us got a little bit crazy with it. See, when you're running a bus route and you got junior church, you get all kinds of doctrines and theologies in. And so we try to combat that in a fun, joyful way. I've got a crucified Christ that convicts the Catholics down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got a crucified Christ that convicts the Catholics. Down in my heart, I've got a justified Jesus that jinxes JW's way down in my heart. I've got a marvelous message that mortifies the Mormons way down in the depths of my heart. I've got the belief of the Baptist that baffles the Buddhist way down in the depths of my heart. See, we come up with all these different things. And see, it is amazing to me because it still baffles me how that a thrice holy God would love such a corrupt individual as me to send His only begotten Son to die on the cross. That's why there's only two ways. It's not because that we can manage things out. No, God makes only two ways because He gave the ultimate sacrifice for the only way. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. See, I think John, 1 John chapter number 2, sums it up best when he says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, that we would see a crucified Savior that died for you and for me. Thinking back to the day that he left the glory of heaven for the jeers of earth. He left the holy place for a hog pen. Only to be met with ridicule, only to be met with mockery, only to be met with blasphemy. Only to be crucified and hanged on a tree. He did that for you and me. And we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, because we say, I deserved that. Let me remind you, when you get to the gates of glory, you will stand there before those angels, and when you begin to give your great oration of why you ought to be accepted into glory, listen, there's only one phrase that is going to be accepted. The man in the middle made it to where I can come. I don't know how I got here. Listen, I think of the song, I Can Go In. There was a band of brothers coming down the road, and who are they? They're the prophets. They're the ones that boldly preached the word of God. And I fell on my knees. Oh, I'm not one of them. I saw another joyful band coming, and who are they? Those are the martyrs. Those are the ones that loved and for their boldness for Christ died for the Savior. Oh, I'm not one of them. But oh, praise the Lord. There came a rowdy group coming down the road, and they were making a ruckus, and he stood up, and I gaze upon the crowd, and I see there's the thief on the cross, and there's David, there's Bathsheba. Oh, who are these? These are the ones that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And hey, I can go in with them. Not because there's anything good about me, because of Jesus Christ and His goodness for you and for me. Consider your way. There's only two ways. And your way is not going to be one of them. Consider your ways. There's a hard way. And there's His way. Which way are you going? Scripture tells us in 2 Kings chapter number 21 and verse number 22, and he forsook the Lord God of his fathers and walked not in the way of the Lord. Proverbs 10 verse number 29 says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Hey, there's only two ways. See, well, Pastor, what's we're hearing about his way. Oh, let me tell you about the hard way. Proverbs 13 and verse number 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. See, you can do it your way, and you will have it your way. As Frank Sinatra used to sing the song, I did it my way, but he is, hey, well, hold on a second. I want to tell you very clearly that he went the way of every man, and that is an appointment with death. He then stands in judgment before a thrice holy God, whether he knows him as his Savior or whether he doesn't. If he doesn't know him as his Savior, he is then put in reservation for the day that the great white throne judgment will take place. And that day, if his name is not found in the Lamb book of life, he will then be cast out into utter darkness and be tormented forever and forever. See, the reality is this. You're like, well, Pastor, doesn't that kind of sounds like the heaven hell way? It does. See, this is the present reality that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're never going to spend eternity away from God. Amen. If you know Jesus, you don't lose your salvation. We're not part of that group that, well, you gotta perform all, you gotta preserve yourself, the preservation of the saints all the way to glory. You gotta keep yourself saved all the way to the end, and hopefully you did good enough. That is Reformed theology. Where does that come from? That comes from a man named Saint Augustine. Do you know who Saint Augustine is? Saint Augustine is one of the church fathers of the Roman Catholic Church. This is what Augustine says, that the only true way to know you're going to heaven is to be a part of the Catholic Church. Those are his words. Not mine, his. See, the Reformation was all about reforming the church. See, they thought that they've gotten away from things. I wholeheartedly believe this, that when John Calvin was writing, his tenets of Calvinism are mirroring the tenets of the sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church. And study it out. Look at it. Like, you've got to do all these things to keep yourself saved. Preservation of the saints. Total depravity. Man cannot get himself to God. Doctrine of original sin. Confession is absolutely essential for salvation. Oh, there's some truth in that. Because the Bible says that we must believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And then we can be saved. But see, the reality is when I step into that confessional booth, and I confess my sin to a man, he gives me a list of things to do to get my sin forgiven. And I'm here to tell you today, there's nothing that I can do to get my sins forgiven. It's already been done, and his name was Jesus. But the hard way, or his way. See, I can know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but listen, the life that God wants to give us, he wants to give us life and life more abundant, joyful life. Now listen, remember, go back to our prayer that we read this morning, when we're talking about this. I can't explain it, but through sorrow comes joy. I don't understand how God operates, but I do know this, that when I am troubled in my heart, when I'm struggling in this life, there is joy in Jesus Christ. I might not like it and I might not understand it, but it's His way. I'm not going to take the hard way. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm not going to go after the things of this world and say, well, I'll square it up with God when I get there. No, there's no squaring up with God. He will take everything you've done. And the way I see this, and maybe I'm wrong, preacher, you correct me if I'm wrong. But the way I see this, when we stand before God, He takes everything that we've done. And he puts them in a giant, I don't know, this is how I envision it. All right, Brother Daniel, you're going to identify with this. He puts it in a walk. Hey, man. Good stuff is done in a walk. Hey, man. Woo! All right, but he's going to take that giant walk and he's going to put everything I've done, good, bad, ugly, and he's going to set it on fire. He's going to light that walk up. And the wood, hay, and stubble are going to burn up. Oh, God, let there be some of those precious things. Some of those things where my motives were right and my method was right and my just serving Jesus, my motivation was right. Not trying to get the cheers of man, but to hear the well done. And when he sets that on fire, those things then get molten down and the precious things remain. The wood, hay, and stubble are all, the chaff are blown away. But those that were holy, those things that were eternal, and when I invested in the right thing, that remains. And from that, I'll be judged. From what remains? Like, well, where do you get that from? Well, I find that actually all through Scripture. But I find it best with the men and the talents. One man was given 10 talents. He went out and he gained 10 more, and he was judged off the things that remained. Thou good and faithful servant. He gave 5 talents to one man. He goes out and gains 5. And this is the glorious picture here of, I might not have all the talent of someone else. I might not have all the persuasion. I might not be able to do what everybody else can do. I might not have the pedigree. I might not have more degrees than a thermometer. I might not have any of those things. But that doesn't matter, because I take the talents that God gives me and I use that for His honor and His glory. And oh, that He would multiply that. And that's 5 talents. Then 5 gains 5 more. And He hears the same thing as the 10 talent man. Well done. But then the 1 talent man took it and he feared. He said, because I know you're expecting something from me. You're a hard man. You inspect what you expect. So I took it and I buried it. And God comes back. Listen, did he judge him off the first talent? No. He judged him off what remains. And for you and for me, we are living this life, not for ourselves, but for our holy God. There's a hard way. But I love this. I love this. It was like, well, I just don't understand. I just don't understand God and how He operates. I've been saved. I was 21 when I got saved. I'm 39. So that's 18 years. Thank you, Elliot. All right. Yeah, I'm terrible at math. He didn't get that from me. Last night we were sitting there talking and he heard something. It was like, I forget what it was, like something times, and then all of a sudden he was like, it's 400, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And so for me, I was like, oh, okay. All right. Calculator out. Like, making sure they don't see me. What are you doing, Dad? Nothing. Mind your business, son. The abacus there. How many are the red again? And here it is. I might not have all everything else that everybody else has got. But I don't need what everybody else has got, because God has given a talent to me. And I need to use that and invest that in. And we invest that in others and we try to see what God will do. Like, oh, whoa. And we were going back to, I can't figure out what God wants. Actually, that's not true, because the scriptures tell us. Proverbs 15 and verse number 19, the way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Well, Pastor, how do I live this Christian life? Get your life guide. Can I encourage you in this? I hear this all the time. It's God's love letter to us, and that is true. It's a glorious thing. It shows us how much He loves us. But I want to go a little bit farther than just a love letter. This book right here that you and I hold in our hands, on earth, this is God's mind to us. Well, what do you mean by that? This tells me what He thinks. This is tells me what He likes, what He doesn't like. It tells me how He wants me to act, how He doesn't want me to act. You're like, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, actually, if you go to Titus chapter number 2, he says that I want you to have behavior that becometh holiness. I'm like, ooh. See, He is a thrice holy God. Brother Dustin put me on a journey. I don't know if he realized it or not. I'm going to prove this preacher man wrong that he sent over to me, and I can't. See, what are the top 3 attributes of God? What do you think of first? Holiness. That's what I said. As a matter of fact, I can show you my text to him. I can show you my text to him. My number 2 was goodness. And you know, holiness is not His first attribute that we see in the Scriptures. His goodness. Number two is his ability. And number three is his faithfulness. Now listen, I think all three of them show us his holiness. I'm working on it. Like here, y'all are looking at me like, oh, don't worry. I'm going to preach on it in February. I'm going to preach on it because, I mean, it's just been a good study. Brother Dustin, thank you. It's been a good study. But I'm finding that to be true. Do you know the goodness of the Lord is seen more in the scriptures than his holiness? You're like, he's God. Yep. I agree. But toward man, his attribute that interacts with man, his goodness is seen way beyond. Well, I don't know if that's true. Go to Genesis chapter number 3. It was the goodness of the Lord that he didn't start all over. We see his ability to have a relationship with us in Genesis chapter number 6. Chapter number 5, I'm sorry. When man began to call upon the name of the Lord. He showed, I have an ability to be able to, even though you messed up, I still got some ability here. And I'll be faithful. We find that in Genesis chapter number 6 with Noah. So from the very outset, we start finding the three attributes. And we haven't even touched his holiness yet. See, I think this. I think there's a reason for that. Now, I'm going to spoil it. You ready? I believe that's what draws us to him. And then when we become his, he then shows us, because I'm good because I am holy. I am able because I am holy. I am faithful because I cannot lie. I am holy. I believe we see his holiness. But the holiness of God is not what drew you and I first. What drew us first? He offered us a way. He offered us the truth. He offered us life. He offered life more abundant. That's not holiness. That's goodness. And it's interesting to me, and I'm really excited about this study, Brother Dustin. Thank you. Because it really has helped me to see how much my God cares and loves me. But there are two ways. There are two ways, and the way of the righteous is made plain. But here, let's just take a look at this, the hard way, the his way or the hard way. In our relationships, is it the his way or the hard way? With our friends. Hey, how are you as a friend? Are you oft refreshing? I've come to this determination that when I am around people, listen, I want them to be refreshed when they leave. Hey, it's easy to go out and feel like you've been in the gutter and need to go home and shower. It's really rare to get around people and feel like, man, I've just been uplifted. I've just determined, Lord, I'm just going to be like you. I just want to go around. Listen, and man, what a Savior we serve. When He was on this earth, He was going around spending time with the hurt people, the people that were down and out, the people that weren't able to do anything for Him. He spent time with them. Well, then He lifted them up. Think about this. Every time someone had an interaction with Jesus, they left healed. Unless they had a preconceived idea that Jesus was not who He said He was. They said, no, it's not possible because we've got the law. Okay, you want to be a Pharisee, then you're going to have a hard time with Jesus. Well, I'm just going to just be one of those that are just going to help people. I want to be refreshed. There was a time in my life where I had some friends that were not positive influences on me. Now, listen, I take credit for my own ability and my own decisions. But in college, I kind of wasted my second year of college. I did really good my first year. I'm not a good student by any stretch of the imagination. Matter of fact, most of the time it's like, teacher, can you not kick me out? Like, but can you give me some extra credit? Like, I came to class today, all right? I showed up. But I was, my second year, I got with this group of guys, and they were really smart. I mean, these guys were like top tier, and I wasn't. I was the like dumb oaf. Like, oh, you want to knock that over? Okay. Like, oh, you want to move that car? Okay. We did that to my boss when I worked at AmeriCall. Me and Dan Corey, we got, like, he, man, he was hard on us that night. We're like, all right, we got him. We grabbed his little Pinto, put it on the sidewalk, and we sat there and waited for him to come out, and he blew a gasket, and we lost it. It was hilarious. Then we got in trouble because somebody from the college saw us do it, and they told on us, and I know, snitches, man. Yeah, well, it wasn't just me. It was Dan Corey, too. So we were kind of big guys. So, but, yeah, we handled our business and then the boss. But anyways, here nor there. So here it is. But I got in this group. And so to this day, if you go down the room 3 in the basement of Fairhaven Baptist College, there's spray paint on the floor where we were painting our model cars. Because it's like, yeah, that's my kind of guy right there. And we were down there just open the windows so that like you don't get caught, right? And so we put cardboard down, but then like the edge of the cardboard had the spray paint on it. And we're like, oh. And just left. Needless to say, I ended up having to redo my second year of college because I was out bowling instead of studying for finals. See, I learned a very hard lesson of the college still wanted their money. Even though I failed, it was the teacher's fault. They did a terrible job teaching me. They still wanted their money. So I had to pay for a school year of school, and I got nothing for it except some life lessons of be careful who you're around. Our friends, our family. There's only two ways. And even with our families, listen to me, even with our families, there's only two ways. I've got to be careful that I don't let ungodly family members pull me off to the hard way. Well, I just don't want to say nothing, and I know I shouldn't be around boozing, and I know I shouldn't be around all that nonsense, and I know I shouldn't be around the immorality, but they're family. I think God deals with that in His Word. See, we ought to have behavior. Now, listen. I'm not saying that we need to just cut them off. I don't just cut off my family because of their bad behavior. But I say, you know what? When I come over, I'm going to be holy. I'm not going to laugh at your dirty jokes. I'm not going to laugh at your lifestyle. And I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going to be careful. And we're going to make sure the kids know, hey, they shouldn't be doing this. Grandma and grandpa shouldn't be doing this. And uncle and aunt shouldn't be doing that. And you make sure that you don't, you make sure that you stay around us. There's no quiet time with the cousins. We're not going to get over here and we're going to behave like them. You're to be a good testimony, a testimony of Jesus Christ to our family. I'm not saying neglect them. I'm saying that we just make sure that our way is very plain to them. That you're not going to convince me. Listen, we faced this when we were young parents of disciplining our children. The grandparents wanted to have a say in how we raised our children. And I'm just going to be honest with you. No. They're mine. You had your opportunity to raise yours. Well, you're going to warp them. I hope so. Because then that means they're not acting like mama and daddy. Maybe, just maybe, they'll look a little bit more like Jesus than their parents do. We've gotten into a society today where the family structure is so dysfunctional. Now, that doesn't mean that we just say, well, there's no hope for them. No, there's hope for all, amen, in Jesus. And I'm not talking about the false hope that he talked about this morning. We're not talking about this like, well, just hopefully we'll get there eventually. No. I have an expected end. I'm going to stand before Jesus one day. But listen, in that, I have an expected end with my children. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. I teach my kids the way of God so that one day that they will get out on their own and they will hold to the things of God. This morning we had a discussion, didn't we? And sometimes, listen, with teenagers, man, they're trying to figure stuff out. And listen, and some of it we just had to figure out. All right, now, that's not what you were saying. This is what you were saying. Well, that's not what I meant. Well, this is what you said. And so we deal with some of the attitude and we deal with these things. But listen to me, my number one goal, listen to me, we could have a church of 1,000 people coming in and we could have great offerings and we could have 150 buses running all over the state of Iowa. We could start 150 churches out of this little church right here. And if I lose my kids, I've lost everything. It's all vain. If I lose my kids, I'd much rather live in a mud shack with my kids loving the Lord and doing more for Jesus than I could ever do than to have the biggest house on the block. You're like, well, you don't mean that. Yes, I do. Especially as my kids get older. Yes, I do. Because, see, I know what the devil has to offer them out there. And I want to make sure, that it's not tempting to them. That's why we share stories. That's why we take them into homes. That's why we take them into the bus areas. We're sitting at Walmart. Kenzie's learned a lot in Walmart parking lot. She's watched Dad break up many a fight in the Walmart parking lot. She's been with Dad when we're walking through and somebody decide to eye up. Hey, what are you looking at? Excuse me? What are you looking at? Keep going. And then they look over. Don't look back. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but listen to me. I'm protecting this young girl. Because if some guy comes along and says, hey, good looking. Hey, she going to be like, what you looking at? What you looking at? What you wanting? So we got a family. Hey. How about foes? Ooh. Love them that despitefully use you. Pray for them. I don't like that. Our relationships. What about our recreation? The places you go. Hey, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change. The place I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change that's taken place. Hey, what about the possessions you have? Do you put more of a priority on the stuff than on the Savior? I'm reminded of a young man that went and met Jesus in Matthew 19 and verse number 22. And the young man heard the saying and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Listen, possessions don't bring happiness. What brings happiness? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water. Hey, what's going to bring you happiness, Jesus? What about your religion? How about your walk with God? There's only two ways. Well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, that's not an option. You're choosing a third way, and that's not the way. I'm going to go the hard way, or I'm going to go the plain way. I'm going to go His way. My walk with God, my wait on God. God, I just want You to reveal to me right now. And God says, no, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to see if You'll wait. Isn't that what He did with Job? I had this thought the other day, the book of Job. Wasn't it fascinating that God suggested Job? He said, have you considered My servant Job? And the devil had considered him. He said, oh, no, you got a hedge about him. And he goes, okay. Now, this is what's interesting to me. As Job is going through all these things, because Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. So the devil is coming and he says, well, if you let me do this, watch this. Hold on. I want you to think about this. God says, okay, full well knowing what Job was going to do. And the devil says, I got him now. Kill all his kids, take all his stuff. He gets in his huddle with his little minions. That didn't go how I thought it would. He comes before God again and God says, hey, how did that go? He said, he would if you took a hedge away from his health. If you let me touch him, and then, okay. You can't take his life. God knew full well what He was going to do. And He said, go ahead, try him. Touched him. His wife cursed him. I can go through anything if my wife's beside me. Wife curses him. And he steps back and he says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That didn't go how I thought it would go. And he comes back to God. Isn't it interesting? There's not another interaction with God on the devil's part. It's like he gave up. Because he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You're going to have to kill me to get me away from my God. Amen. Hey, hold on. Pastor. I'm peckish. I'm just not going to be able to come to the revival meeting. I'm peckish. Now, I understand we've got sickness going through. If you're sick, stay home. I understand that. I'm not trying to be insensitive to sickness. What I am saying is that we look for every little opportunity to trip us up, to hinder us from our walk with God. God knew exactly what Job was going to do. He said, you're going to have to, and God could have said this. God could have said this because He knew it. You're going to have to kill him to get him to say something otherwise. What would it take for you to say otherwise? What would it take for you to do otherwise? See, that is going to be the measure of your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. I'd like to think that I will stand there and I'll take the bullet. You're going to have to kill me before I recant what Jesus has done for me. Do you know that's only done one way? You got to have a personal relationship with the Savior. And there's only one way to have that. There's no shortcut. and borrow your book for a minute. Mm-hmm. How to pray. God, I know everything there is about prayer now. Thank you. Thank you. I have a prayer life now. I did it my way. I read about prayer. God, I don't understand why I'm not having any answers to prayer. I read about prayer. I know everything there is to know about prayer. And God says, there's only one way for you to accomplish what I want done on earth, and that's for you to pray. Not read about it, not know about it, not have a knowledge, but to practice. Hey, you can be the dumbest person in the entire world, not knowing anything about God, and simply know this, I need you, and He will save you. God, I have need of some stuff, and God bless. Because, listen, knowledge does not mean that I am able to accomplish. It begins with a walk. There's only two ways. There's only two ways. What about your work for God? And lastly, are you helping? Are you hurting the cause of Christ? There's only two ways. You either help it or you hurt it. How do you know when you're hurting the cause of Christ? I'm going to give you a simple test. I'm going to give you a simple test, and we're going to be done. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. How do you know if you're hurting or helping? Are you filled with your own ways? If you're filled with your own ways, you're not on his way. And you are hurting the cause of Christ. This morning, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you on the narrow way that leads to life, or are you on the broad way that leads to destruction? Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Are you on the hard way, or are you on His way? Are you helping, or are you hurting? If you're filled with your way, you're hurting the cause of Christ. In the great words of some preacher man, stop it. Stop where you're at and get on His way. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for just how good you are to us. Lord, we ask now that you would just work in our midst. We thank you for the folks that are here, taking time to be in your house today. We ask now that you would just move.